We are now in a series called We Are, where we're just going to define who we are. We spend the next 3 weeks looking at just very simply who we are as a church. And our hope is that we can see, okay, this is who we are, and then get some ground underneath us to begin to start to move forward as a church. And so I'm just going to read this right off of our website. It says this: if you click About Us, first of all, do you guys know we were established in 1873? Yeah, no, it's actually 1873. So we were established in 1873, and we wrote this on our website. We've been around a while. That said, we're excited about a new season for us. In July of 2016, we hired Bobby Grassi, that's me, as our senior pastor with the intent of revitalizing our church. This type of season brings change, but whether you are visiting for the first time or haven't been in a while, there are a few things that you need to know that will remain the same, and here they are. And that paragraph sets off the next 3 weeks, including this Sunday, for our sermon series called We Are. So the first thing is we are simple. You guys like that sign? It's pretty cool, huh? I made it. All right. To which the Mike, our treasurer, is like, amen, no receipts. Simple. Here it is. We proclaim a simple message. Jesus Christ is the hope of our world. Though this news has been around for 2,000 years, we believe it's just as relevant today as it was then. That leads us to our next thing, relevant. We believe that the truths of the Bible connect humanity back to its creator. It also teaches that if we have peace with God, it begins to affect all other areas of life, including the way we treat others. Therefore, every sermon will have some relevance to what we believe and or how we live. And that leads us to our last point, historical. Our church has been serving Goleta and Santa Barbara County for over 140 years. But the Church Universal was established over 2,000 years ago. We believe that our local expression of a church is a small part of a large family of faith that is made up of all cultures, tribes, and tongues. Therefore, and this is the important part, connects them all, we are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple in the solution we offer. We are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple to the solution we offer. That is right off of our website, and that's going to set the precedence for we are. And the first one is we are simple. And the solution that we offer. The solution we offer is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Very simply, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. On the third day, He rose again, and He's the Savior of the world. And if you believe that, you will be saved. And so we see scriptures all throughout the New Testament, after Jesus has come, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall have eternal life. Then the famous, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall ever believe in Him shall not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
We see all throughout Scripture that there is a redemption found in Jesus Christ. And if we believe on Him, if we look to the cross, then we will be saved. But then that begs the question, is it just to enter in? So there's like a starting line that seems to be established by Scripture, that you were here and then you heard the gospel message, and if you believe, then you are here. And so then it begs the question, what about the continued work of the gospel message? Is the gospel just for unbelievers into believers? Or is it also for the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, also for believers? And I think that through some of our sermon series, the answer that hopefully we know this by now, the answer is yes. Paul tells Timothy, a pastor, in 2 Timothy 2:8, remember Jesus Christ. He tells the pastor, remember Jesus Christ. It's like, really? Don't you think if he's a pastor, he probably has that part down, don't you think? But we all need to be reminded. He goes, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David as preached in my gospel. And letter after letter in scripture to the churches, the Apostle Paul goes back to the gospel. Peter goes back to the gospel. James goes back. And you just work your way, 1 John, through the epistles, throughout all of scripture. And it seems like it doesn't go that far until it's tethered back to the gospel. How many of you guys remember tetherball? Yeah. Okay, we have a player right here. Excited about that. What is it? It's a pole with a chain and a rope, right? It's got a ball at the end. And you hit it. And what does it do? Goes around and around and around. The cool thing about that game is no matter how hard you hit it, you're not going to lose your ball over the fence, right? That's what the Apostle Paul and the Bible does, is it goes out right about here and tethers itself back into the gospel message. You see, the gospel, I've said this before, but it needs to be made very clear. The gospel is not just the ABCs of Christianity. It is the A to Z of Christianity. It is the A to Z of Christianity. 2 Corinthians, let's see. Now, before we go there, yeah, go back. I got more to say. when we think about the gospel message, oftentimes, again, we think it's just the entryway into the kingdom of God. But how many of us know and have down that every single morning when you wake up, you remember that you're a Christian? Anyone? I want to hang out. Because I know when my wife wakes up, she definitely doesn't remember she's a Christian. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Everybody relax. We can laugh a little bit. You guys look too serious. But I think life just has a way of grinding you. It just has a way of just like getting under your skin, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in what's called autonomy, which is self-governing, which I got this. I'm going to do this on my own. I got this. And we tend to kind of go out, and if we're not at church every Sunday remembering that we believe in God and tethered to the gospel, we're going to forget. We're going to forget. All right, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now, Paul is writing this to a church in Corinth. They have received the gospel. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. Now, they're a mess. They're like Christians gone wild. They got a guy sleeping with his mother-in-law, and the church is kind of like embracing it, and it's just, they got like gangs going on. They're just like, yo, I'm of Apollos. Apollos, yo, I'm of Paul. And they're like fighting each other. No? No one? Okay. Someday. But that's the thing is like they have all this going on, and so yes, they're a mess, and Paul's writing this to remind them. But he says this, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds, even as Christians, will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion of Christ. And that's where we get the idea of simple. The word here, I usually don't do this. I usually don't pull words from the Greek and put them up on the screen. But I thought, man, this is just worth it. Look at this word. It's haplotos, at least that's how my logos says it, which is a Bible program. It says, here too, the basic meaning is a simplicity. And again, this leads to such value concepts as B, noble simplicity, or characteristic of the psyche of heroes. I just wanted to say that because of that phrase, right? That noble simplicity or a characteristic of the psyche of heroes. Who wants that? I want a psyche of a hero. Just this side? Anyone over here? Okay, thank you. All right. So, like, man, or purity or a singleness of heart. And that's where we get the idea of simple. Is that we are a church that is simply pointing to Jesus. And that all of our messages, even though they're going to reach our culture based on where we're at, looking for gospel bridges or way to bridge the gap between a historical message and current culture, the message will always remain the same. And we as a church might explore things like we just explored the idea of loneliness, but we're going to stay tethered to the idea of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's who we are. As a church, we are noble simplicity, and I want all of you to have the characteristic of the psyche of heroes. Go. And a singleness of heart. You see, if Satan can distract us like Eve because he's crafty, we end up going, as I said before, on our own power, and we forget. And so oftentimes, so just a quick testimony. Last night I was here, I was here a good portion of the night because I had to, you guys could pray. I have a dear friend dying of brain cancer that I went to go visit on Friday. And she lives up north about 2 hours. So I made up for my Friday yesterday and one, finished this sign. And two, found myself here late at night just kind of going through the sermon, and we have a membership meeting after this, and going over these things, and I have felt a presence in the fellowship hall for quite some time, a demonic presence. Leadership knows about this. I've mentioned it before. And I found myself last night doing spiritual battle and just calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be gone. Walking around the building, turning on lights, it was rad. Because you know what I got? I got from the Lord that as I came through and turned on each light, the evil was pushed back. So I just went through and just turned on all the lights. It's like, yeah, what's up? Just go, right? Just get out. Be gone in Jesus' name. But here's what ends up happening. We like that kind of power, as Paul talked about in Galatians, the power of God. But because we forget about the gospel, we find ourselves getting too far tethered away from who we are in Jesus Christ, and we end up like the sons of Sceva. There's a story in Acts where these Jewish priests decide, they see Paul casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And so they go into a tent, and they're going to cast this demon out. And apparently it's three brothers, and they're going to cast this demon out. And they go, in the name of Jesus Christ in whom Paul preaches, be gone. The demon-possessed man says, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I heard of. Who are you? And then this one man beats up all three of them, rips off their clothes, and they have to run out naked. It's kind of a funny story, actually. But I find that the farther we get away from the gospel, the more I find that we just try to call upon Jesus' name, which he's merciful. Like, I don't want us to think that we're just lost. But oftentimes we're just like, in Jesus' name, go. And they're just like, well, Jesus, I've heard of, but who are you? Now, here's the thing. If you were there and a demon-possessed man or woman said, who are you? What's your answer? Yeah. That's what it means as a Christian to come back to the gospel. Like if a demon-possessed person says, well, Jesus, I've heard of, but who are you? I'm a son of the living king. You'd be gone in Jesus' name. Man, there's power right there. So much power. But if a demon-possessed person says, who are you? And you're just like, you might get beat up. I'm just saying, you might end up like the sons of Sceva. No one wants that. We go to church every Sunday just to remind, at the very least, just to remind us what we believe. Just simply to remind us what we believe. Look at 2 Peter 1. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Look what it says right there. He's talking about characteristics. And there's quite a list of characteristics of a Christian that's right before this. You can look it up on your own in 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1. But he says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. But if you lack, and if you ever asked yourself the question, why do I struggle so much? Why does that sin keep revisiting time and time and time and time again? Why is it every time I get around that person, my pride kicks in and I can feel it and I hate it about myself? Why do I have such a hard time loving that person when I know I'm called to? These types of things, and then 2 Peter just says, well, because you forgot that you were cleansed from your sins. And I know that sounds really simplistic. It's just the Bible, though. And I have this weird feeling the Bible knows what it's talking about more than we do. So what do? We come back and remember. Who are you? I'm the Son of the Living King. I'm holy and dearly loved. I'm accepted by Jesus Christ. I'm loved by an almighty God. And I can run to his throne like a kid because he's my dad. I can run to his throne boldly and he hears me and he answers me. That's who I am. Why? Because my sins have been forgiven. This is what it means as a Christian to come back to the gospel. We come back. Who are you? Son of the Living King. So if you're a man here, I want you to repeat after me. I am a son of the Living King. If you're a woman here, I want you to say this. I am a daughter of the Living King. So then it begs the question, is that just like a mantra or is it based in a historical reality? Yeah, that's what it means to come back to the gospel. How do we keep from being led astray? We hold to a noble simplicity and we have the characteristic of the psyche of heroes. I just want to keep saying that. And a singleness of heart because again, we tether, we come out and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hold to the gospel, and it's the simple message. I remember hearing one time I used to install tile work. I ran a business for a while where I was an installer and sole proprietor, and it was just a phenomenal time because I'd listen to sermons and set tile. It was cool. And I remember one time hearing a sermon, and it was preached to a room full of pastors. So you'd think it's going to be super deep, right? Like you'd think this room full of pastors, they're going to talk about, you know, substitutionary atonement of Christ, or they're going to talk about, you know, something deep, some sort of big words of something. But instead, this man just got up and preached the simple gospel to a room full of pastors. And I remember setting tile on this wall, just weeping from the simple message of the gospel as a reminder that I'm a son of the Living King. And that a room full of pastors, you could almost feel it. This isn't a podcast, which is like after it was recorded. It's not even live. But she could almost feel it through the podcast that the Holy Spirit just using this one guy to preach a gospel message to a room full of pastors and the whole room, you could just, man, it was just powerful. It's gospel. And so we come back to the simple message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatians, or the church in Corinth, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing except among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So oftentimes we think that we need to spice up, that like Jesus needs some new PR. You ever think about that? That the church needs like some new public relations, some new branding, and that might be the case. I mean, there's a way to bridge, so I get that. But we don't have to dazzle anybody. Romans 1:16 says this, that the gospel that I'm not ashamed of, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the simple message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, him raised from the dead, is the power that God uses to save. And to save us time and time and time again. All right. So, simplicity, a singleness of heart, who we are as a church is we are tethered into the gospel, that we're simple in the solution we offer, and that solution is Jesus Christ. So, some very practical things. Number one, first thing in the morning, remind yourself of who you are based on what Christ has done. So, how do you do that? It's up to you. It's completely up to you. Look in the mirror and go, I'm a son of the living king. Do that. Like, get some. This is where the idea of morning devotions comes from, which it says, like in one of the Psalms, it says, oh Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. And that's just one of many scriptures that point the first thing in the morning you wake up and just remember, tether yourself to the gospel. Get a good devotional. But get a good devotional. Right? Like, don't get it. Okay. Side note. If your devotional just has moral platitudes and never points to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, get a different one. You can watch Oprah for that. You can watch some sort of self-help or something like that for this out. You need heart work. And that comes through Jesus Christ. So get yourself a good devotional and open up the scriptures. Everybody know how many Proverbs there are? How many? 31. So anytime during the, like, you're just like, you know, say Monday, oh, I'm going to have devotion, but then you sleep in. Tuesday, it's like, oh man, I forgot. And then Wednesday you wake up, I'm like, I have time, but I don't know what to read. Look what day it is and read that Proverbs. Like, it's that simple. Just open the book and be reminded. And if you're really ambitious, you want to read through the Bible, start in Luke. The reason why is Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. But start in Luke and just read straight through. When you get to Revelation, start over in Genesis. And just read all the way through. But start in Luke. Read the gospel. Because John is very different than Luke. So just start reading through. So first thing in the morning, remind yourself of who you are based on what Christ has done. Like, our family right now, and we're reading the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's phenomenal. I just gave it to a guy who's he's my age. He's like, where do I start? Read this. He's like, are you serious? It's like a coloring book. I'm like, trust me, man. Read that. Why? Because every single story points to the big idea of Jesus. And I find that very few books actually do that. Anyway, all right, so you get the point. Number two. Come to church with a heart ready to receive the gospel. Okay, I want to be nice, so I'm going to be. But here's the thing. When you come through these doors, a good majority of us here are mature believers. The position that you take, I shouldn't have to convince you that Jesus is really good. You already know that. And so if you come in with, well, let's see how the music is today. Let's see how the sermon goes. Is he funny? Because if he's not, this is not my responsibility. Like, I lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ, but how you walk through those doors as a mature Christian, here's a hint. Be enthusiastic about the fact that you get to hear and be reminded about Jesus again. Doesn't matter. I mean, come on, y'all. How many of you guys have been on third world missions? Anyone? Been in Mexico? How many of you sang in a crowd of worship, or saying worship in a crowd of people where you didn't even know the language. A few of us. If you could just sit there and like you see all these people, you don't even know what's being said, like, but you're still worshiping. Come to church with a heart ready to receive the gospel. It's your position. What position do you have? Do you walk in with pride? Now again, I'm speaking to the mature Christians here. But come ready to receive the gospel. Here's what this looks like, church. When you walk in, be excited. The word enthusiasm, it comes from a Greek word, entheos, which means in God. That's where we get the word enthusiasm. So the word enthusiasm talks about being in God. You know, because all week you've been looking in the mirror going, I'm a daughter of the living King, you know, and so by the time you get here on Sunday, you're already there and you're enthusiastic about what God has done and hearing it. Okay, so one, first thing in the morning, remind yourself of who you are based on what Christ has done. Number two, come to church with a heart ready to receive the gospel. Number three, begin to live what you believe. In community group, we're working our way through a discipleship book. And what's cool about this discipleship book is it's having us memorize the scripture. So you memorize the scripture, but it's not just Bible memorization for Bible memorization's sake. It's you're memorizing it so you can think about how to translate that into doing something in your community that represents the heart of Jesus. So, I'm memorizing part of Romans 6. And it's a section that we talked about in that from death to life. It's where we got our Good Friday and Easter, right? In Romans 6. So, what can I do to bring death to life? What can I do pragmatically in my neighborhood with my neighbors and my friends and when I'm out to eat and having coffee and all these different, how can I bring the life of Christ? And it's got me thinking, like, what needs life? Do me and my kids go to an old folks home so we can just bring life into that situation? Do we go down to the homeless shelter and just smile? Like, what can I do to bring life? And that's what I mean by begin to live what you believe. If you're a son or daughter of the living King, live as such and begin to live outwardly for what the call of Jesus Christ is. And I'll end with this. I wanted to end early today because we have our membership meeting. So the idea of simple, relevant, and historical, just trying to give some definition for who we are. I started to think through this idea of discipleship. Like, what does it mean to be a disciple tethered to the gospel? Like, it's one thing to preach a message, but just very pragmatically, what is that? So I started praying about this and wrote this, I feel, inspired by the Holy Spirit for us. So one, we are simple. You, so this is how it applies to you. And I have some handouts that I'll give to you next week, or if you're in a community group, I'll give them to your community group leaders. You can get them this week, and they'll be on the website tomorrow. You, who are you? We established that, right? What are you called to do? You could spend a lot of time in just that question, but just start asking it. Like, the whole point of you being a son or daughter of the living King has a point, right? It's not just so you can go to heaven. It's not just a get out of hell free card, right? It's not just that it has a point. It has a purpose. It has a direction. So the question is begged, what are you called to do? Because it's going to look different for each and every one of us. Who are you, a son or a daughter of the living King? Okay, now what? What are you called to do? And once you begin to answer that, how can you simplify your life so that you can accomplish your calling? Like, what is it and how can I do it? So one, you. Number two, or the second part, is others. Go to the next slide. When we think of you, okay, there's three sections. Let me say this. There's three sections, you, others, and the church, and it's who, what, and how for every single one of them. So you, who are you? What are you called to do? How can you simplify your life so that you can accomplish or live into your calling? And then others. Who's your neighbor? Who is God calling you to? What is in the way of loving your neighbor? Right? Like, well, I feel called to love that guy, that girl, but what is that? And then the question, how can I serve my neighbor? And then the last one, the church. So you, others, and the church. Who am I being discipled by, or who am I discipling? Like, who am I investing into, and who's investing into me? That's why we have community groups, so we can begin to establish some relational equity with one another and some trust. So come to my community group, and or Dana. Dana's right over there in the green shirt. Everybody say, hi, Dana. Go talk to Dana afterwards and join his community group. And Paul and Mike help, or Paul and Mike lead it. They all three lead it. It's a great group. Get in community. Who, and then find somebody. If the answer is, I don't know. Hey. Hey. Oh, I'm Bobby. Hey. The pastor asked me that question. I got nobody. Can we hang out?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple. No, that's not going to stick. Okay. Who am I being discipled by and discipling? What are my gifts? What has God given me as a gift? Every single Christian has been given a gift via the Holy Spirit. I've been given the gift of, I have seen the gift of evangelism in my life, prophecy, word of wisdom, gift of tongues. Just had words from Jesus. Like, those are the gifts that I have in my life, as well as things that God has redeemed. Things that I had before I got saved that God is slowly but surely redeeming. So, what are my gifts? And then this question, once you identify your gifts, how are my gifts and calling serving the church? So how do I take those gifts? Because according to Corinthians, they're for us. Your gift is for us. That's how this works. And so, that's what it means to be simple. We are so simple in the solution that we offer. That's it. We stay close to Jesus. And that's who we are as a church. And then once we establish who we are as a church, then we start looking at how that affects me, my relationships with others, and then what's my part in the big play of the church. If I could have the band come up. And I will close this section with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinth church and just made it very clear that for a year and a half, he pointed to you and you crucified and you rose from the dead. And for whoever shall believe in him will not perish. So, Lord God, would you help us to stay tethered to the gospel, that not only as a church could we stay simple in the solution that we offer, but as individuals, we would do the same. In Jesus' name. All right, the last section of the service. So we have creation, fall, redemption, and this last one is restoration, that Jesus sends us, that Jesus sends us. Matthew 28, most of us know this. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now that we have heard God's word, we are sent. We go. We go out and we are lights. If you would please stand as we celebrate the fact that Jesus is sending us.